You are listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 81. Pardon the disruption. Honestly, I have there two articles that are related, and I'm not 100% sure which one to do first. I think I'm going to start with the industry trend and then dive down to a specific new tech breakthrough.
Okay.
As opposed to, or should I start with the tech breakthrough and then talk about the trend?
Give me the tech breakthrough. That's what I want.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. That's cool. This is from GigaOM, which looks like they changed up their site. Looks all right. This is about solar. Okay.
And, oh, baby.
Yeah. Which is, there's a new one. The title is Tiny Wires Could Be a Breakthrough for Cheap Solar Panels. So there's a Swedish startup, because they're Swedes. They developed a new technology. I like this. They give this little summary, so I don't actually read it. I can just read this. That says it can boost the efficiency of standard solar panels at a minimum cost using, wait for it, nanowires.
Of course.
It is the great bright hope for solar manufacturers who have been crippled by the difficult solar market in 2013. That's what I'm saying, dude. Puns. That's where it's at. So anyways, I don't fully understand how solar works other than it's an amazing market. And if you and I could figure out how to start up a solar company, that would be cool. Even though it does sound like it's hard to make money in it.
It's ridiculously hard unless you get giant government subsidies, which, you know, I'm not opposed to.
Right. Well, you know, the problem is you can't continuously charge people because, well, the source is free for the most part.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're talking about how, which we'll talk about the trend in a little bit here. And so what this does is it does exactly what I just said. They're called the startup is called Solvoltex. I don't know.
Volatic.
I'm horrible. Volatic.
No, I feel like Solvoltex.
Voltaics.
I almost feel like that's spelled wrong. Volatic is that?
Or is Swedish? Anyways,
Voltaics. They're Voltaics. Solvoltaics. That's the word. I knew the word was in there in my brain somewhere.
I like it. Okay, so what they do is they made these make these tiny wires. Nanowires, yes. That are normally expensive, but they're highly efficient semiconductor using gallium arsenide.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is scientists have figured out how like using that substance is like can make a super efficient solar cell.
Yeah,
which is nice, but it's always been really expensive to use. And what they figured out how to do is by turning them into nanowires, you can then turn it into a liquid or half solid phase. What they say, because normally it's like a gas normally, and it's just really hard to work with. But they figured out how to turn it into more like a solid, so you can literally paint these things like you would a house on top of the solar cells, and then just let them cool. And then they're ready to go. And as it dries, the tubes do their things. And so what they're going to do is their hope is to sell the technology or the ink, if you will, to solar panel makers, and then they'll put them on like inkjet style. And so what it'll do is it will give them, whoever starts up with it first, a huge competitive advantage in the fact that they'll be super efficient. And, and people will be more inclined to want to buy them because the payback period will be better. So all I said, they figured out a way to make solar panels a lot more efficient for not a whole lot more cost.
And what I like,
great thing in the solar panel market.
And what I really like about this isn't a different way of manufacture. A lot of times when you get these big solar breakthroughs, they require you to fundamentally redesign your production plants. Whereas all this is, it looks like, is, you know, you have your furnaces that are cooking the wafers that you, all of your, you're making all your traditional wafer production for solar panels, because they're made on wafers, just like computer chips. It actually uses the same tools in many cases, just different chemicals, and different doping process. But one of the things that's like really important in these industries, and in order for these breakthroughs to have any like market traction, they need to fit with what the current standard for production is, or you add one step or you take away one step, because there's already billions of dollars of capital investment in this market. So you can't just recreate how you do solar panels and expect it to have any traction unless it offers, you know, 100% efficiency. Unless it's just ridiculous, you're not really going to change the industry. Whereas this, it's one chemical that you're basically, it's one additional step where mm-hmm. you do all the normal stuff and then you dope with this, or not dope, but you
layer.
Well, it's actually the only difference is during the doping process, you inject the chemicals coat everything, and then you heat it, whereas this sounds like you're not actually heating it. It just dries. But it's, you know, I sit there and I go, man, that's what you want. That's actually something that could really affect the market and change things.
Yeah.
You know, in a big way, man, it makes me wish I was working for them. Whoa, baby, that's going to make you some money.
Yeah, no, it's cool. They only have like 20 employees right now.
Oh, geez.
That's going to be some.
That's going to be some ridiculous. $11 million. What, man? Unless they're just completely off base about how much it actually costs to do the, you know, the, what the capital investment is, or what the, or more importantly, unless they're completely off on what the operating expense is, how expensive it is. If it's still expensive, then it could be, well, that's why they don't have any money. But if it's actually as cheap,
well, I think it's mostly because they're still in research stage, right? And they're going to spend this next year shopping the demoing how it works and perfecting the equipment. And so they want to raise like another looks like $49 million by 2016 and kind of stop there, which is relatively. I mean, that's not a ton from a startup standpoint, but
that kind of tech. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, so all that to say, very cool. The thing that's going on in the solar space, and to now back it up a level, I would love to put solar panels on my house eventually.
Yeah,
that would be cool. But I kind of like, I want to wait like 10 years. You know, yeah. I want it today, but I also want to wait 10 years because I know where this is headed. You know what I mean?
That's like me and my cybernetic enhancements, like. The real question is when to pull the trigger, because you don't want to do it too early when the technology is not forward compatible. you want to get it right at the right time.
But eventually it becomes a very compelling thing to do, which is what the Edison Electric Institute found in a recent survey that they did. Now you got to understand that these guys are funded and paid for by the electric companies. And so it is in their best interest to paint a dire picture because the enemy is solar panels. And so what they are noticing is this trend, which is just, this is classic trend. So number one, I guess step zero, really, it's when people and communities start producing their own power via solar panels, four things happen, okay? Number one, the electricity utility companies sell less electricity.
Right.
Seems relatively obvious. They provide less than 1% of the power in the U.S. grid right now. But they think by 2020, it will be closer to like 10%. Okay.
Nice.
So as a result of selling less electricity, the rates for electricity will go up. Because oftentimes these utility companies, they have very long-term investments for their fossil fuel power plants, which have payoffs that could be like 30-plus years. And so if less people are using power and the cost of paying off that debt is the same, they have to spread it across fewer customers, prices go up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man.
So again, Bloomberg thinks that in 2020 they'll be providing 10%, but they think that the rates for electricity could actually go up by more than 20%.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. So number three, what's worse, solar panels supplant the most profitable kind of power that utilities sell, which is the middle of the day during summer.
Right.
Right? You got the air conditioners going, but now the solar panels are just sucking it in.
You're right.
Yeah. And so they're like, so it's not just that, like, 10% of the power, it's like the best time, the high peak, the expensive power is no longer. So it's like, you know, it's worse than, all right, so you don't have to have a 10% installed base to have a 10% impact on their finances. And once they have like a 10% installed base, because of, you know, when it works best is the most profitable part, you know, it's more than that. So anyways, so they're losing more. And then four, worse still, utilities will have to pay higher rates to finance new power plants and infrastructure because banks and other financial institutions are going to realize what's happening. And so they're not going to give them the low interest rates because they'll be a more risky investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plus they're going to be like, do we really, you know, they're going to try to make it work on older stuff because they're like, wow, we don't really want to make tons of investments to, you know, to build this stuff. So it's this self-defeating thing, right? Because,
right.
And they don't actually continue this trend, which I think they should, which is prices go up. So there is going to be a natural progression of solar power efficiency, as we just discussed.
Right.
But the financial decision to do it is going to make more and more sense because if prices go up 20%, you're like, well, yeah, what the heck? Let's do some solar panels. You know, so it's just going to accelerate because more people do it, prices go up, it makes more sense to do it. You know, that's the hope and dream of it. And you know, and so the process, according to this report, is already slowly but surely starting.
Right.
So the question for you and I is, you know, when does it make sense to pull the trigger? Which I think the only, like, there's two ways you can look at it, right? Is like, oh, I love tech and I love stuff and I just want to do it because I love Earth and, you know, right? There's the more what I would say the qualitative emotional side of the decision,
nice.
Which is not a bad thing to do, right? And that's a good reason to do it. The other one, it's a more like it makes sense to do it when your payback period is something that you can stomach,
right?
And you go, you know, this will pay back. I think doing anything longer than 5 years would be a mistake. But
right.
You know, if you can do your payback in 5 years. Depends on your usage level.
Yeah, and I think 5 years is an interesting one because it's like, you know, in 5 years the technology will be significantly better. You know, that's why you don't want to do it over a 10-year period because it's, you know, you'll have.
Yeah, you just be kicking yourself. And so for me, I think what I'm going to end up doing, my hope, is I'm not actually going to seriously consider it for like 5 years. And then I think that's when I'm going to start looking around and seeing what's going on because I think there'll be a ton of innovation and it'll be a much easier business decision to make in 5 years.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that I you know, it's an interesting it's taken a while for it to take off and I know that there's a lot of within my industry there's a lot of naysayers, but I definitely think it's sort of like the electric car where it's. This one's inevitable. You know, they get a lot of bad press because they're such
strong
technologies. Yeah. They they get a lot of bad press because they're such young technologies and the expectations are set so high, but the eventuality is that this is where it goes, man. It's how it works. You can't stop it because it makes more sense. Eventually, it always makes more sense. But eventually, you run out of fossil fuels. I mean, it's got to happen. You know, we don't have a choice.
Yeah, well, as long as they're smart and the solar companies apply the principle of just continuous, slow but steady innovation and just – each year work on getting it a little bit better and better and better, it'll slowly happen. And, you know, and they will win. If they keep going for grand slams and keep trying to change stuff up, yeah, that may never happen. But
they're not. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, they are. No, they're slowly all getting better and coalescing. I still think that a company like HP can go in there and just kill it, but that's just me. It doesn't have to be HP. It could be Google. 2.
Oh, nice. Could be cool.
That's all I got.
Yeah, it could be. Cool. All right. Well, so I've been saying, right.
Who else could it be? Who else could do it? Who else could pull it off?
Big thing like death?
Yeah. Maybe Dell makes a little shift in focus.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what about Intel?
That fruit company.
Intel.
Any interest? Intel, you think?
I think Intel could. I think Intel too. I think they have the infrastructure and the manufacturing capabilities to turn their core,
how to sell it into the channel. That could be a trick for them.
Yeah.
But maybe they'll just partner up with other manufacturers.
Exactly. You
know, home manufacturers. I could see that.
Yeah. Not laundries, foundries. That's what they have.